Welcome to a psychodelicious conversation on mental health issues and trends from two local mental health professionals in the greater Lansing area. I'm Michael Stratton, LMSW.
And I'm Morgan Bowen, DNP, PMHNP, and we're here to provide you with a deep dive into the human experience of consciousness and beyond. Our aim is to be educational and entertaining, so just kick back and open your ears and your minds.
Hey, I'm Michael Stratton, Mike Stratton.
And I'm Morgan Bowen, just Morgan. Morgan.
Deciding whether you're Michael or Mike.
Well, this has been a lifelong thing. Some people call me Michael.
I was just talking about this with a client.
Do you have a preference?
It's an identity thing. I like either one, but it's interesting that like if I publish something, I'd go under Michael, and some people call me Michael. My old college buddies do. Sometimes my wife does, but most people call me Mike. Most people.
Yeah, so I get that. I got like
when you're asking a client their name and they have a name like Michael, and you say, "Oh, do you go by Mike?" And they say, "Oh, whatever." How do you manage that? I always waffle. Say,
what do you prefer?
That's usually what I say, but I'll be like, "What do your friends call you?"
Nobody calls you Morg.
My grandmother. I just had this conversation with a client. I had a boss who called me Mo Bo because my last name is Bowen. So, and it rhymes with
favorite person.
And then for a while I had Mor Go Go. That was a nickname back more in my fast and furious
days. I still
have
people that know me as Day. Rather than Dedalian.
I like that. Yeah.
Day, Morris Day.
Yeah, I was never a fan of it.
Yeah. Well, there's that, too.
We'll be sure
sometimes
to call you
Day, then. A nickname that you don't like, and that's not good either.
But my grandmother called me Morgie, and some family members would call me Morgie. Hmm. But that's more of like a kind of a kid name, you know?
Look at that. Right off the bat, I got you guys derailed.
Hey, I've got news about the show.
What is it?
Well, I did something unusual, and I looked at our email, and I just looked at our podcast.
Do we have an email?
I think on Apple or Spotify or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, we do have an email.
You guys have the world's longest email.
No, it's true. I just assumed nobody would ever email this email address.
Well, here's the thing. It was either on Apple or Spotify, and it was like, how can I submit a question?
Oh,
and
really?
This was in January.
Oh,
So somebody was listening and wanted to submit a question.
Well, thank you to that person.
So I'm going to suggest, we haven't done it yet, but I will declare it. I'm going to declare it here. We are going to make a Facebook page, and people will be able to engage with us on the Facebook page. It's going to be a Psychodelicious Facebook page.
And I will say that if they look in the show notes, your email is in there, so they can always click that. But we'll have the Facebook page in there, too.
We will. We'll do that.
That's exciting.
Thank you to
the person that emailed us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We never emailed you back.
And we did have...
what was the question?
They didn't say. They just wanted to know how to get it.
By now,
it'll be like, so what was your question?
Yeah.
Like, in January, I had a question, but now I don't know. Anyway.
Wow. Okay.
But you have a topic that you wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well, we come up with topics together. But this week, I thought we would talk about stress.
Good idea.
It's a general topic, but one very informed in the salient, important to the mental health world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think one that none of us escape.
I think we're
going to talk about what is stress. What does that mean?
You have to have stress. I mean, there's no way to get through life without stress.
Well, how would you define stress? And
I think of stress as
overwhelmed.
Tension. Well, that's a kind of stress, but tension, and it could be good tension or bad tension. So when you're working out, you put yourself in stressful positions in order to get a gain. Mm-hmm. You go to work, you feel a level of stress, but you're doing it to get something out of it. There's stress that you can endure and that's okay, or that you have a sense of like, this is going to lead me. Like yesterday I did yoga, and what I always say is, people ask me, do you like doing yoga? I say, I like having done yoga. But while I'm doing it, I don't particularly enjoy it.
It's a stress management technique. I mean, a lot of people use it as a stress management technique, which we'll talk about, I think, in our next podcast about stress management techniques or avenues to stress management. But
I don't think there's a way to get through life without stress, because your interaction with the environment is going to be, you're going to have stress.
I think there's some scientific, like, I'm thinking physics, when you put a stress on a system, it's a... something that introduces a contrary energy. I took physics years ago. I really didn't like it. I didn't do well in it. But I, you know, something about it is counteractive. It's acting against what the system is trying to produce.
Is it a way of testing the system or seeing what the system will endure, or is it?
Well, and like friction. So a body in motion stays in motion unless acted upon by another force. Yeah. So friction is the stress that stops the motion of whatever the object is.
Stress refers to the internal force per unit area within a material that develops in response to an external force causing deformation.
And that's the physics.
So that's
definition.
Why I couldn't do physics.
That's physics.
But if you did regular.
I was there for the first, I think, six words. But then
that was one of my most favorite science classes. Yeah.
So in psychology, they call it the body's response to pressure, of some kind of pressure. Mm-hmm. So the pressure, if you are exercising, you're applying pressure to yourself in one way or the other. Whether you're running, you're swimming, you're yoga, your weights, whatever you're doing, there's some kind of pressure. And we put ourselves in pressure positions. Was it stressful to come here today and do this?
I was looking forward to it, actually. I mean, the stress is, for me, being busy and trying to fit everything in. So I knew, you know, I have a dead line, well, at least an expectation to be at a place at a certain time. So if I feel like I'm running late or I got to get all this stuff done, then I start to hustle. And today it's kind of warm, so I was sweating a little bit. And I felt like I was going to be here on time, though, so I wasn't too stressed. But
what's the difference between now and the first time you did this?
Oh, the first time I had never done it before, and I was very anxious. I was definitely, the relationship between anxiety and stress is one thing that I talk about a lot with people.
A lot of crossover, yeah.
And so I have, you know, as I've shared, I struggle with anxiety, lifelong struggle. So, I just had an anxiety because I'd never done it before. I don't like necessarily hearing my voice and recorded things. So I was stressed that it was going to be bad, but maybe I was, anxious, thinking that maybe this wasn't going to work, but yeah.
Once you realize that it's bad, it's okay. You can just roll with it. It's like,
then I realized nobody
it's
listens.
It's not going to get worse. Like, this is as bad as it
So is it stressful? What I think of stress in my own life is really what I was talking, when I have so many things going on and how am I going to get all this stuff done? And I feel this just extreme sense that I just don't know if I can do this. And do I have it in me to do all this? That is so stressful for me.
That's stress for me, for sure.
Our third voice also is our producer, Dedalian Lowry, who's here. And as I said last time, a listener asked us to always introduce Dedalian. Do they know who the third voice in the room is? So go ahead. You were just saying something about stress.
I would say most of the time, feeling overwhelmed is where I get most of my stress.
Yeah,
I did actually have a little bit of stress prior to coming here because as we were talking about when we're recording this today, we did an award show here at the college, and I was the announcer. And that always creates a little stress at first. And then there's this point where I kind of ease into everything because it's something I've just done for a while.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting that you said that you felt stressed. I didn't notice you felt stressed the very first time you recorded. But it's also something that I always have to keep in mind when people come in here. Because to me, this is just a thing I do. Yeah. So I don't think of it that way. And then I forget that people get a little overwhelmed by having a microphone in front of them.
Oh, my God.
And hearing their own voice through their, their headphones.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The first time I was on the air, it was terrifying. Yeah. The very first time.
What about you?
I got used to it.
So would you call that a stressful moment?
That was definitely a stressful moment, but it was also a moment that I was looking for and asking for, so there was that. I mean, there's stress that you seek out that this is going to be hard, but I want what's on the other side of the stress. It's not that I'm wanting the stress necessarily, but you want what's associated with the stress, the reward of it, so to speak.
And definitely I can say that ceremony was something that I look forward to doing every year, and I have a fun time doing it.
Yeah.
But at first, I'm a little stressed.
Yeah. Yeah, emceeing a jazz festival, same thing.
First time you get up on that stage.
Yeah.
And then you break into it.
Uh-huh. Meeting your heroes, you know, interviewing people that you're like, oh, my God, I can't
believe
I'm going to interview Wynton Marsalis. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? And
what do you act like when you're stressed? There's some things that come out during stress.
Well, some people shut down. Some people, well, it's kind of like you do, well, I don't know.
Irritable.
People can get
irritability
irritable.
And anger. You know, that was what was coming to my mind with me when I am stressed
that
out.
Makes sense.
I
am. That makes sense.
I am usually a cool cucumber, but if I'm stressed, we were visiting Virginia, and here's a stress example. And I was traveling with my husband and my mom, and we were doing a family thing. We were there for family reasons, and we went to a hotel that my mother had booked, and it turned out to be kind of a dumb hole. So I did not want to stay there. So we had been driving for 8 hours. So I'm thinking, I'm going to have to talk to my mom. I don't want to stay here. And she was fine with it. But then we had to find another place. So now it's 7, 8 at night. We're staying in the mountains of Virginia. We stayed in an Airbnb. So then we're driving to this remote Airbnb space. And I'm driving, and my husband is sitting next to me, and my mom's in the back. And everybody's trying to figure out where we're going. And I just am quiet, trying to, you know, like look at the directions. My husband's changing the map, you know, zooming in. I'm like, oh my gosh, do not touch the map. And my mom's like, it sounds like you're, you know, I think you need to take a deep breath more. And I'm like,
you need a Snickers.
I am about to blow my top. And I did. I blew my top. And I felt terrible about it. The next day, I had to.
Well, you blew your top at your mom?
Well,
when she was giving you mom therapy.
Well, you know, it was kind of just the whole situation. Everybody. It was like, you know, you could feel the stress in the car. Everybody's tense. Where are we going? It's dark. Are we gonna get there? Are we gonna, you know, get, I don't know, murdered?
Yeah, especially
by
when you're in
people.
An unfamiliar area. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that was a tie. I did, and I said I did not, man. I the next day I said did not handle that well. That was stressful for me, and I did not handle it well.
I get like that. Like I get kind of snippy and mean, I guess, when I'm feeling stressed about mechanical things. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say that I'm not mechanically inclined. I do okay, but I'm not I'm just not great. But I have had times where somebody is leaning over my shoulder trying to tell me what to do, and it's very frustrating for me, and I get stressed about it, and I know that, and I get snippy.
So there's specific events like these where you just do get, you're overwhelmed, and there could be all kinds of other factors, like you're in a different place where you don't know what you triggered me. I flew into San Francisco when I had this thing going with the feds, and they were flying me around the country to do trainings with therapists. And I went to San Francisco, and the plane was late. My baggage wasn't on where it was supposed to be. I had to drive up to Vallejo, and this was before there were phones and, you know, maps like that. And I just looked at the map, and I said, oh, it's on such and such a highway north. That'll be easy. Well, when I got out and looked at the highways, they went east and west. They didn't go north.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh,
I hate
no.
that.
And so, like, I didn't get there until really late. I had to get up early and go and do this training. And I just remember, I had the feeling, and I did self-talk because I was just, and there were no phones. I couldn't call somebody up, you know, unless I used a payphone. And I did this self-talk, like, okay, you knew when you took this gig, you knew there'd be times that it would be really, really hard. And this is it. It's really, really hard right now. And maybe this is as hard as it's going to get, and you're going to get through this, and yada, yada, yada. And it was okay after that. And it did all work out, but that's one of those touchstones that I look at times when you just have had it, you know, but I think it's interesting. Sometimes people blow out and sometimes people implode.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm more of an imploder than someone blows up.
I think
up.
I'm an exploder.
I know you
I
are.
I think my husband is an imploder. My husband is an imploder, though. We're yeah. an imploder and an exploder.
Case by case for me. Because I case can think of times where I don't, but...
Yeah, it's been rare. It's rare for me to explode, and I hate to say it, but the person I'm going to explode on is the person closest to mm-hmm. me, is my
That's
wife.
It.
Yeah, and it's
same.
Just I'm, yeah. I don't. I won't do that with friends. I won't do that. Well, rarely. A couple times I've done it with friends, but that's.
No, that makes sense. Definitely, I can say my experience has been the same. Where it's just whoever's closest to me, like mm-hmm. personally. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, as a therapist, why is that, Mike? Tell us why we. Well, why we get most mad at the ones we love the most, or we explode, or I explode on those that I love the most.
Well, on the one hand, the number of hours of exposure that they have to you versus other things, you're mm. more likely to go through something with that person. The last time I really did that with Kathy, it was shortly after we moved, and a dishwasher was arriving, and there was a snowstorm, and we had to shovel, and I had I'd had surgery on my, you know, on my waist, and anyway, they, you know, they said don't lift any
tummy tuck.
No, it wasn't a tummy tuck. It was, I'm blocking on the name. It's the thing where you know, when
appendectomy,
part of your stomach comes outside.
And hernia.
A hernia surgery. Oh,
okay.
That's it. Yeah. So I was not supposed to lift anything over 10 pounds, and something arrived that was like probably 100 pounds, and I was trying to move that out of the way of the room, and
you're not supposed to do that.
And I wasn't supposed to do that. And she was critical of me, saying, don't put it there. And I was just like, oh, that did it. That did it. I was already, you know, mainly, I was about to kill myself for the rest of my life just mm-hmm. by moving this thing mm-hmm. in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then she's saying, don't put it there. Put it there. So.
Do you think if she had said it a different way, you might not have...
Of course.
I mean, that's a serious question. Because it's not all on her, of course. It's on you that you blew up. But...
Yeah.
But it's always that thing where I know, like, if I say something to somebody a certain way, I could say it completely different and they're fine.
Well, the way she could have handled, God, I hope she never listens to this. She could have said, honey, you're not supposed to touch that. Let me help you. If she had said something like that, it would have been very, very different. But instead,
this is a familiar conversation, Mike. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I was thinking a lot of times people's identify others as their source of stress. So I think when I speak with clients, and I'm thinking you as a therapist, frequently the spouse is my life would be great if I didn't hear it all the time from my spouse.
Well, they become a person. Well, they're the person nearby that you project stuff onto. Yeah. On the one hand, there's that. The other thing is, I do think that people have a basic predisposition that some people are more the stress is more likely to go outside versus to collapse inside. And some of that is probably genetically based, you know. My dad was very, well, it's interesting. My dad was very depressed. He was a very internal guy. My mom was an exploder. My mom was someone who could get loud and scream and slam doors and be dramatic and all that kind of stuff. And it was like, oh, I'm not going to be like that, you know. So I don't know.
So when I'm meeting with clients, especially in an initial evaluation, one of the things that I think about or maybe talk about overtly is, what are the stressors in your life? What, mm-hmm. and which is a question. You tell me about the stressful things in your life. And I would say finances are top,
that's
are
a big
up
one.
There majorly. Job. Yeah, job. Family, a lot of times job.
Certain relationships in the family system can be very, very stressful.
I see students, so a lot of times with the students, it's usually class, you know, all the things that they have to do for class. And I will say also, and we're going to, of course, talk about stress management, but stress management is part of the maturation process, or part of the developmental process. And that really comes about when you see, you know, how children manage stress, which mm-hmm. is very interesting if you look at it that way. So if you're seeing, you know, a kid that's just flipping out, what's going on with that? How are they, you know, emotional regulation, managing the disappointment if they didn't get something? Or I guess something even worse, like they are concerned about, I don't know, safety of a parent. There's lots of things that can stress out kids.
It can be short term. It can be an event, or it could be a long term thing. You know, it could be a kind of a toxic environment that a person's in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And it's a good distinction between stress and trauma. Trauma is more likely to be more of a particular event that is kind of life threatening and unexpected, and stress is something that's like you're living with for a while. It could be that. Mm. So
there's a relationship for sure. And maybe in some ways, and I'm just spitballing, but you know, trauma is an extreme life threat. It's a stressor on steroids.
Yeah.
It's a stressful event on steroids or a stressful situation on steroids that just kind of pushes somebody into major overdrive.
Now, what was the most stressful moment of your life? Maybe not the most stressful moment, but let's talk about, but was there a most stressful time of your life?
Most stressful time, and I guess, for
me, transition periods, you know, like going through a divorce or new job, losing a job or leaving a job, being unemployed for a period of time, different things like that. School, being at the end of school, like, what am I going to do with my life now? That was stressful.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, divorce, job-altering situations, losing a job. Mm-hmm. That definitely is not a fun experience to go through, and it is stressful. Because then you got to come up with a whole new, especially when it's unexpected, you got to come up with a whole new source of income, figure out where you're going to go, how you're going to hold on while that you're, like you said, you're unemployed.
Well, and
I was really happy-go-lucky through my 20s, and at my end of my 20s and into my 30s, you know, well, really at the end of my 20s, it was, I got to figure this out. I got to figure out what I'm going to do to take care of myself in the long term. You know, I didn't have health insurance. I didn't have really any benefits with the jobs that I was working. So I started thinking, I always flew by the seat of my pants. I got out of jams by asking for help, asking my parents for money. And, I guess my most stressful time was that time, late 20s, when I really had, you know, push came to shove, and it was, what was I going to do? And I became a nurse. That was really what I did.
I'm passing notes to Mike while you're talking. I was curious because I think I'd heard you talk about having kids, but
I have a daughter.
I don't have a kid. And I always thought going through that experience would lend itself to some stress.
Oh my God. I was a very anxious father. And I remember I tell this, it's kind of as a joke, but kind of not. When they, you know, were letting us leave the hospital with our baby, it's like, aren't you going to send a nurse home with us?
What are we going to do?
I was very, very anxious how do we keep her alive? How do we, I mean, it was like ridiculously anxious. And then gradually, you know, over time and experience, you start to get more relaxed, or I got more relaxed with that.
Necessity is the mother of invention. So when you're kind of pushed off that cliff, it's very, I can't do this. That sense of, I don't know if I can do this. I mean, it goes back to that overwhelm of, I just think maybe I won't be able to do this. But then as you're figuring it out, there's both the relief that, okay, maybe I can do this, but also the pride and the satisfaction that comes with.
Overwhelm is part of it. Unpredictability is part of it, I think. And also lack of control. You know, so one thing that drives me crazy currently is the news stress. Just seems like between tariffs and deportations and the what's going on with the Supreme Court versus the presidency and all this kind of stuff. It's just like, this stressed me out, but what can I do about any of it? And does it, you know, I think the degree to which someone feels powerless increases that stress as well to some extent. So,
that's depressing.
That is depressing. Good thing we have solutions coming up.
Well, let's
in
hope.
The next episode. I don't know. But are we ready?
I don't know. Are we? I mean, one of the things I was thinking about, because I know you're into dreams, is dreams that show you that you are stressed.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
One thing that, you know, because I've had a reoccurring dream in the past. I haven't had this in a long time, but where I am driving into a ditch. And I always feel like that's just my life out of control.
That is, yeah. Dreams are pictures of feelings, basically. You're processing emotional states that you're experiencing in the daytime, but it's getting attached to this whatever imagery you've got going on. And, you know, when you fall asleep, you know, your heart keeps beating, your lungs keep breathing, your stomach keeps digesting, your brain keeps working. And what your brain is trying to do is filter out the emotional material and trying to figure out, where does this go? Is this short term or is this long term? And it gets mixed in with all this other imagery. So
interesting.
I had a stressful dream just the other day that my wife and I were about to be sent to a concentration camp.
Wow.
We were going to get into a train. It was going to leave on Friday or Saturday. And I looked at the list of names and, okay, we're not on Friday's list. Maybe it's Saturday then. Maybe we have a chance to get away. And that was, I woke up with that and I was like, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
oof.
A Psychodelicious conversation is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is no substitute for therapy and should not be treated as such. If you feel a need for real therapy, you should consult your local provider, Google therapy or therapists in your area, check with community mental health or a suicide hotline if you are feeling suicidal.
Mike and Morgan welcome your questions, feedback, or dilemmas. Feel free to send us an email at apsychodeliciousconversation@gmail.com. That is a psychodelicious, psychodeliciousconversation@gmail.com.
The views expressed on this podcast are solely the opinions of Mike Stratton and Morgan Bowen and do not reflect the views or opinions of any site broadcasting this podcast. Replication of this podcast without written permission is strictly prohibited.